This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The Australian Bureau of Statistics will be giving all eligible Australians the opportunity to express their view on whether Australian marriage laws should be changed to allow same-sex couples to marry. Survey forms will be sent to all eligible Australians on the Commonwealth electoral roll. To participate, you must be enrolled. To enrol, check or update your details, visit the AEC website, search AEC or visit an AEC office. The roll closes Thursday, August 24. Authorised by the Australian Bureau of Statistics, Canberra. Spoken by Jake Downs.
Joy sponsor.
You're here with Love Our Proud.
With Z and G on Joy 94.9. And look, Jess Perkins just walked into the studio. Look, she walked in during the song and we had to sit her down and get her in the studio. Thank you so much for coming on, Jess.
Thank you. I mean, I was just coming in to say hi.
Oh.
But then you were like, hey, do you want to stick around? I was like, yeah, I do.
Well,
obviously.
I guess you've already said hi, so we can... That's
I'll
it.
Just,
we'll just cut to a song now.
Yeah.
No. Good to see you guys. See you later.
It's a bit of a torch relay because we are in the studio where we kind of stalked you for 2.5 hours when you had your last show on Joy 94.9.
Yeah. We just ghosted you, like when we were hanging around like vultures.
I loved it because it was like having a live studio audience.
Yeah.
Which is my preferred method of performing.
So exactly. You don't do breakfast radio anymore on Joy 94.9. We don't get our coffee Perkins elated.
Oh.
Not the first to make that joke.
No, sorry. Yeah. Not the last either. Well, what have you been doing since then? Just sleeping?
Just chilling. Just hanging out. Yeah, I have been sleeping on Wednesday
morning.
It's
good mornings. To sleep.
The bags under your eyes are gone.
Thank you. Yeah.
You don't have to check them in with your carry-on luggage.
I didn't know this was roast hour right now.
No, that's a compliment, saying the bags are gone.
All right, Dylan. All right, Dylan.
It ended well. That sentence ended well.
No, but I stopped just before Comedy Festival, so I did that.
And that's got some gags in it.
Yeah, that was pretty intense and full on. Not a lot of sleep had in that period of time either.
But you went against the grain from philosopher and scholar Jason Derulo. You didn't fly solo during the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Tell us a bit about what you did.
I did not follow the school of Derulo, as I so often do. Yeah. Yeah, I did a split show with Naomi Higgins, who was a Royal Comedy National finalist last year. And our show was called Twins, mostly because I wanted to recreate the poster from the 1988 film Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, because Naomi is very, very short.
Ah, yeah, okay.
And I am average height. But in comparison, I look enormous. So
thinking about
the show, I was like, how are we going to, like, any photo we take together, I'm going to look ridiculous. Mm. And then I thought about that poster and I was like, well, there it is.
Well, it's well thought out. And I can confirm 1988 is the year that...
Yes, you saw me hesitate.
Yes.
Good job. I was like, is that right? Yeah.
Thanks, search engine.
So how many shows did you do the whole run?
No, we didn't do the whole run. We did the second half, so 12 shows.
12 shows.
Which is still enough shows,
right.
To be
dipping your toes in the water.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's good because it's a good long run, so you start to get really, really smooth by the end of it, and the show runs really well. So the first few are always a bit clunky. Mm. That's going to be the case always. But by the end, we're like, oh, yeah, we've got a good show here. You get real cocky by the end.
And having two comedians together, or is it comedians?
No, it's comedians.
Comedians, not comedian.
Lauren Bock tells this great joke where she's like, I'm not a comedian. I don't tell jokettes.
Yes.
I love that. It's always in my head.
Having that together in the audience, being from Melbourne, what was that like?
Yeah, that was really cool because it was Naomi's first show outside of Raw Comedy. Mm. So all of her friends and family were still super enthusiastic and get swept up in the novelty of it. So they're like, oh, let's go see it. And my friends and family are sort of like, oh, okay, you've been doing this a while, but they still come along. So yeah, it was really great that we managed to get people in and actually come and see the show. And we got some nice reviews. And
where'd you play?
It was fun. We were at the Greek Centre.
Okay.
Oh, whoppa!
Which is this cool, like, they're like
office. Is that about the burger shop place there,
yeah,
right there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And it sort of looks like, it looks like an office.
It's very fancy on the inside.
Yeah, it's quite fancy, but it can be a little bit clinical too. Mm. So we kind of made a bit of a joke about it in our opening. We did a little sketch together and we made a joke about it. And we wrote it before we'd seen the room. We were just sort of like, this is what I remember from last year, so let's just take a punt. And it was really, it was a great show. We had a lot of fun with it.
And did you go out and chill out with your fans afterwards at the rooftop bar?
I didn't go to the rooftop bar once.
No.
everybody was like, it's got an amazing rooftop bar. And I said, oh, I've got to check it out. Never went.
Is that because, I can't remember who said it. I think it was Tina Fey, that comedians, female comedians, are often good girls compared to male comedians that just go crazy and all that, don't at the party, and that the female comedians kind of hone on their craft and they do that, and they don't have the sex, drugs and rock and roll that the boys do.
None of that, thanks. I think maybe it's a little bit like that. I just started a new job, so I was working at the same time. Mm. So I was like, I can't be out partying. I've got to go home to bed.
So you're being 9-to-5er and the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Yeah, because I'm an idiot.
Do they check you into a mental asylum for that?
At the end, you just sort of, you sleep for about a week.
That's cool.
That's great.
What number comedy festival was this for you?
I guess kind of three. Because 2015 I would have done Raw Comedy.
Yep.
Then 2016 I did Comedy Zone.
Okay.
Which is the showcase show that the festival put on where they pick five newbies. And then, it would have been my third one.
Right.
Yeah.
How did Raw go?
Raw was the best day of my life. Still.
And you did quite well.
I did okay. I got a special mention, which I claim is third. You know, it had a winner and a runner-up and then a special mention. I was like, well, that's a third place. Yeah.
Solid third, though.
Yeah.
Oh, a good third. I got a bunch of flowers.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
So self-raising plane.
Oh, my God, that's awful.
thank you. Only the best at midnight.
Yeah, so how long had you been doing comedy before you got to Raw?
Raw was my seventh gig.
That's good.
Right.
So my Heat was my first ever gig. I was like, I'm going to try comedy. And so I signed up for Raw.
What would be your tips, hypothetically, if there's someone listening or in the studio that did Raw this year and didn't do very well and would be interested in doing it next year? Tips from a successful person.
Try again.
Just
absolutely. You got to do it because it's so much fun. And Raw's the best place to start, I reckon, because most people would start doing comedy by just doing the open mic rooms, which is like the logical place to start. But they're also like small audiences and can be really tough. Whereas at least Raw is like really, they're usually bigger audiences and they're very friendly and people are there to support their friends. So they're already super up for comedy. So you can like do well there just by getting up and saying some words.
What was your joke that killed it at Raw?
It was an act out of me trying to buy drugs.
Right on.
And how terrible I would be at that. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it's so much fun to do. But it brought the house down.
I'm expecting a CSA in the future.
Yeah.
Anti-drug campaign.
Yeah. Here's how not to do it.
So are you you're a Melbourne born comic then?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so you went on the roadshow just recently. Where did you tour around?
This year, I got to go on roadshow last year, which was awesome. Like, having only done comedy for about a year and they sent me out on roadshow was ridiculous.
That's awesome.
Really, really, really cool. And last year I got to go up to like Queensland and parts of New South Wales, Northern Territory, like some amazing places. This year I did 2 weeks in rural Western Australia.
Right.
We drove 4,500 Ks in the space of 12 days or something.
So you were like a fly-in, fly-out worker.
Basically, yeah.
It's like West Australian realness.
Yeah, and we went to some like tiny, isolated places, mining towns, like not big, bustling metropolises, you know, but it was awesome. Like, I got to see parts of Australia that realistically I would never see otherwise. Because you can tell yourself, oh, I'm going to drive around Australia, but you're not going to get up to like some of these places, like Port Hedland, so just south of Broome. You know, like Karratha, these amazing towns, but like realistically, I don't think I would have got there otherwise.
And how are the audiences?
Varied. Some of them were really small little towns and like we all sort of got off stage like, ugh.
You know? Is that because it was the only gig in town and they were all there? Like you were the mayor for the day?
I guess. It's kind of like, I suppose in Melbourne we're really spoilt because there's so much happening and people are so used to there being a lot of live entertainment and people kind of therefore grow up learning sort of how to behave, for want of a better word, at those sorts of events or know how it works, whereas they don't get a lot of live entertainment out there, so it's all kind of new and it's a bit confronting, I guess, like it's different.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they enjoyed themselves, but you couldn't hear them enjoying themselves. Like, they weren't big laughers.
Oh, really?
And as a comedian, that's all we need.
That's the payoff.
Yeah. So you can't tell how you're going.
Sitting there nodding along or something like that. Like it's a,
that's about it, yeah.
Okay, wow.
There was one show. We did two shows in Karratha, and it was this amazing outdoor venue. So it was across like three basketball courts.
Wow.
And they had food trucks and fairy lights, and there was a band that played before us, and the band were amazing. Ooh. 800 people turn up the first night.
Whoa.
And you get on stage and you cannot hear them at all. Like,
really?
You can't hear the laugh because it's outdoors.
Yeah, right. Nothing to reverberate.
Just, like, disappears.
Oh.
So you just have to get... Because I was third, luckily, so I was watching the first two perform and they were doing really well. I could hear the audience, but they couldn't hear anything.
Oh, no.
So they come off stage like, a bomb. No, dude, you killed. That was awesome. So I got on stage and just had to, like, just trust that they were laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a weird feeling.
Was it weird to pace that, though?
Yeah, because then you're like, I don't know.
Yeah,
are you done?
Yeah.
Are you finished laughing? I don't know.
But if you can't hear them, you can't hear the hecklers.
True.
Have you had some hecklers in your time?
Do you know what? It's funny. Not really. Or if people kind of shout out, it's pretty innocuous and you're just like, okay, mate. And that's about it. Like, I don't get people really going at me. I had one fairly recently, actually, where I was doing this joke. And he just...
What room?
Local Laughs in St Kilda. And I was telling this joke about... I read out... like chewy wrappers. It's super exciting. I'm a revolutionary. And one of them was about like, it was a dare to go on a road trip with your best friend this weekend.
Right.
And this guy just yells out, Bruce Willis.
What?
Yeah. And I was like, what?
What?
He goes, Bruce Willis. I was like, are you saying Bruce Willis is your best friend?
Yeah, yeah.
And then everything he said just made no sense.
Oh, wow.
So after,
maybe he was a diehard fan.
Maybe. Mm. I was like, I don't understand what you need from me. So eventually just went, I reckon I'm just going to keep going with my joke.
Yeah.
And the audience were like, yeah, you keep going. Because they hated that guy for some reason because he yelled Bruce Willis.
But they were inner city, inner Bayside.
They get it. They know how to behave.
So what are the other comics that you toured with?
Bob Franklin was the MC, comedy legend. Danielle Walker, who won Raw Comedy last year. Guy Montgomery from New Zealand, who's an absolute legend. And Tommy Dean.
Right.
So Tommy Dean was, and I think Bob and Guy, they're all sort of billed as like international acts, but Bob and Tommy have both lived here for like 30 years.
Wow.
So like they're not really international. Okay, yeah, international. They have an accent.
Yeah, that's right. That's all qualifies.
That's all you need.
Well, while we work out what is international and what isn't.
I've got my atlas out.
Oh, good. We'll look at that. Can you stick around for more, Jess?
I would love to.
And Jess, you were doing some fantastic dance moves during that song.
I love to boogie.
Yeah, I know. You were trying to teach Dylan something, but Dylan really wasn't picking it up.
Couldn't pick it up.
He couldn't pick it up.
I crump only after midnight.
Really? Luckily, we bought the toaster and your crumpets.
Yeah. Jess, what do you call that move where your leg and your arm were going at the same time?
I call it the Perkins.
It was good.
Wow.
It's an original.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll try that.
I just haven't seen it before.
I can tell.
Seen it before.
So who are your comedy influences?
Oh, wow. Good question. This is embarrassing. When I was a teenager, I was obsessed with Skid House. Do you remember?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That reaction was the best, by the way.
Yes.
You're like, oh, yes. I was obsessed with Skid House, which I haven't watched since, and I don't want to because I don't think it'll hold up.
Oh, you reckon?
No, well, there's
you
a
reckon?
Sketch about. No, there was a sketch. There was a sketch about.
Sketch.
I can see your pubes, and I said that to my mum before I knew what pubes were.
That's right.
And I got in trouble.
What about Tom Gleason's Australian Fast Bowler? That was
That's when he had hair.
Yeah. I was obsessed with Tripod.
Oh, yeah.
Like, absolutely obsessed with them. I used to go to all of their shows. I used to email them.
Wow. Get a response?
Oh, yeah, every time.
Nice.
They were so nice
Pop
to me. Yeah, they were so lovely. They would always reply. I would email them from my school account in high school. Like, I'd just be sitting in the IT labs at school. This is before all the kids had laptops, okay?
Okay, yeah.
And I'd be emailing them, and then I'd check my emails, and they'd reply. That was so cool. So I was obsessed with them. So I think they're kind of the reason that I got into comedy.
Who was your favourite out
there? Yeah, had to rank them.
Gatesy, 100%. Yeah. I was in love with him. We were getting married.
No, you can't say a least favourite.
Didn't really have a
or
least.
Or middle favourite. Who's your second favourite?
That's the same question, but worded differently, and I appreciate the sneakiness. Probably Scott. Sorry, Jan. Oh, no.
No.
What
they won't be emailing you back.
No, they will not.
All right, we've got Tripod coming in.
No!
Right now.
Imagine. I'm like, I would die. One of them. So Gatesy was at a gig I did a little while ago.
And did you fangirl out?
I did a little bit. And then I said to my friend, I was like, I just did comedy in front of the reason I do comedy.
Does that
moment.
Mean you do musical comedy?
No.
God, yeah.
I can't sing, but... I guess they just kind of introduced me to comedy and live comedy, and especially because a lot of their early shows were like plays, basically. There's a lot of story to them. and a lot of different like theatrical elements. And I was a real drama nerd at school. So I was like, oh, comedy can be like little plays. And that appealed big time.
So after high school, did you pursue the performing arts? Did you work on your craft?
I tried to. I didn't get into a performing arts degree that I auditioned for. Because my enter score wasn't high enough.
Who needs them? Don't worry about
it. That makes no sense, right?
Yeah.
I could perform.
Anyway. It should all be down to spirit fingers, not
ATARs. It should be about enthusiasm. Mm. And then I did get into a course that was Creative Arts and Culture. That was the name of the degree.
Nice. Yeah, okay.
Which just meant it was an arts degree, but you had to major in something creative. So I was a drama and literature major.
Right.
And in my drama classes, we would just read the plays out loud.
Ah.
Yeah, we wouldn't do any acting. We would just read them.
Where are you voice acting at all?
ACU.
Oh, we're at ACU. Hey! We met at ACU.
But then I left ACU.
Oh.
And I went to Deakin. I'm sorry. But
Burwood?
Lame.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, how cool. We could have all been there.
Yeah.
ACU alumni right now. Alumni. Look at that.
Well, some of us graduated.
Yeah.
we'll still count Deakin. We'll still count Jess, of course.
I graduated Deakin later. Yeah. Anyway,
still
whatever.
Through ACU, so that counts. Yeah. Right?
And you can go back to that degree anytime in the next 10 years. So I've got another couple of years.
Yeah.
So you can still walk in and use their toilets.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Oh, I use them all the time.
Yeah, ACU toilets, level 5.
I've paid for them, I'm telling you.
That's good money as well.
I'm still paying for them.
Exactly, yeah, exactly, right?
I'll never stop paying for them.
I don't want to earn over a certain amount.
Having jobs.
So how did you get to be on Joy? How was that? How'd that come about?
My good friend and co-host, Mitch McTaggart, who I met at Deakin. He was actually...
Oh, wow.
He was our tutor.
Really?
Because he graduated like the year or two before us, I think. Yeah. And then he was teaching one of the classes that I took.
Huh.
And there's us and two others. We all sort of became friends. And he had done like the training course and wanted to get into radio. And I'd had a lot of radio experience. And he was like, do you want to come do a show with me? And I was like, well, yeah, okay. Because I love working with Mitch and he's so much fun. And he's probably one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life.
You do have good bands.
Yeah.
He's good chemistry.
He's insanely funny. So I was like, yes, I'll get up at 5 a.m. to hang out with you once a week. For sure.
And he's got a development deal.
Yeah.
With a corporation in Australia that loves to broadcast.
Yes. They are known for it.
Yes. And you work for that corporation.
I do. A subsidiary of that corporation, indeed.
Targeted at the youth demographic.
Yeah, youth station, you could say.
Hmm.
A few J's involved.
A couple, yeah.
There's the AJ, there's the CJ, because there's three, and there's the one in between.
Yeah, perfect.
The BJ.
I was talking about another J.
Yeah, so sorry, but we got there. We all got there. What's it like working there now?
Well,
Are the studios friggin' awesome?
The studios are pretty awesome.
Yeah, like digital boards?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, do you know what, though? Because I do one segment a week. It's not a tough gig.
Sounds good.
I rock up on Wednesday afternoons.
Yep.
And I do, it's an afternoon. It's so good.
Do you do it live?
I do it live, nice. But the show that I like guest on is based in Sydney.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So I just go to a studio and sit in a small booth.
And they cross to you?
They cross to me.
Nice.
But we have to pretend we're all in the same.
That's cool.
Room.
Is it like getting paid schizophrenia? Because you're hearing voices?
I'm hearing voices.
It's like, the demons are coming
And it's
me.
Weird when it's like, we're in a song and they have to talk to me, so they're just like pressing a button. So the music cuts out and then I can hear producer or the on-air talent talking to me and then it cuts back into song. So it's very confusing. And then I'm worried that like they can hear what I'm saying in the studio so that I'm trying not to do Instagram stories.
How much shit are you talking about them? Yeah, yeah.
A little bit.
So you can't hear the hipster vibe
jams. You can hear it cutting in and out. When people don't need to talk to me, I can jam out. Yeah.
What are some of your memories of Joy?
My favorite thing that I still tell people about, this is not even really Joy related, it's just the fact that there's like a unisex bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And
how Ally McBeal?
That's exactly what Mitch used to say. He's like, it makes me feel like I'm in Alec McBeal. He loved it.
Mm.
But my favorite part was at the end of the show, we'd both, because it's like a 2.5 hour show,
mm-hmm.
and I drink a lot of coffee in that time, we'd both go to the bathroom and I would sit in one cubicle going, and Mitch would just be going, oh no! And we would laugh so hard every week. And one time we came out and we didn't realise that there were other people in the office. And someone was at one of the desks that's quite close to the toilets. And we walked out and he goes, are you two okay? We're like, sorry about that. Sorry.
It gets wild after the breakfast. Once it hits 9 o'clock, you don't know how to switch off.
No.
There's no wind down.
I think around 8:30, you have to play a few songs.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's the morning baby. Yeah, I know.
There's a storm brewing.
That's why they have your 3-song break. You know, that's why.
And the news.
Yeah, you've got time.
Chucking that in there, and we're fine.
The secrets. There was a BuzzFeed article about the secrets of radio.
Really?
So, yeah. Did you write it?
Wish.
You wish.
Jess is getting ABC money from Michelle Guthrie. Oh, yeah. I wish I was getting BuzzFeed money.
So you said you were taking a break from stand-up. What prompted?
Exhaustion.
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially just doing the festival and then roadshow straight away.
Yeah.
And, it doesn't give you a lot of time to write. And when you're just doing like the material you've done for a while, which is probably still, I mean, of course it's still fine to audiences because they don't know any different.
Yeah.
But you're in autopilot saying it, and you lose the fun of saying it.
Yeah.
And then that loses the edge in the performance. So I just sort of wanted to take a little bit of a break. And I didn't want to put a time limit on it either. I wasn't going to be like, I'm taking 1 week or 1 month. Yes. I was like, I'm just going to see how I go.
Yeah.
A sabbatical. Just
a hiatus.
Yeah. Do you have life.
Do you have like a comedy email that you've put like an out of office on?
No,
like
that would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Like a Gornfish sign or whatever.
Because a lot of like gigs will book you with just Facebook Messenger.
Mm.
So I've had to keep coming back with, hey, I'd love to, but I'm just having a break. And you just feel like the biggest tool.
But is it treating him mean, keeping him keen, being like, oh, we'll get it eventually?
I kind of felt like people were going to be like, if you're going to be like that kid, you'll never work in this town.
Yeah.
But most people would be like, cool, man, enjoy. Let me know when you're free.
Like, so what are you doing to find yourself?
Well, a lot of meditation.
Right on.
No, not really. but I should. No, I just kind of wanted to like try to be a normal person for a little while and see what that's like. So I go to work and I come home and I like cook a meal.
Wow.
And then I get 8 hours sleep.
Whoa. Crazy.
I've never done it. I feel amazing. Because I'd be averaging 6 before that, maybe.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, no, I'm already bored. I'm already
6
bored.
A week?
Yeah.
Or
maybe. During comedy festival, yes. But I don't think it'll be long because I had one gig last week and it went really well. And I was like, oh, that's right, comedy's really fun.
Yeah.
So what's
the process of the craft? Do you see something funny? Does it stimulate you and you go, I can create humour out of that?
Ah,
and I shall.
Humour is everywhere. Mm. It is a little bit. I think everyone's different. Some people sit down and just like really write. They treat it like a real job and will just churn stuff out.
So you write something down on a napkin and try and get some
worked
funny
for J.K.
out of that,
Rowling.
Right?
She wrote Harry Potter on a napkin. That's a one time.
That's a friggin' lot of napkins, man.
She wrote 9 books or whatever on napkins.
Yeah. Jesus.
Toilet paper books.
I think you meant like the idea.
Yeah.
Harry, that's it.
The concept.
Who is it?
That's what you need. Oh, just the lightning.
The draft.
That's it. Yeah.
She just drew a lightning.
And a dollar
9
sign
books,
next to it.
Yeah.
Lots of dollar signs. She's like, I've done it. For me, it is like things that happen, conversations I have, like where my brain goes when those sorts of things happen. So it's kind of a slow process for me. But you've got to sort of find what works.
Will you work your stuff out on stage? Like, will you go up there half-baked, like, you know, your material half-baked and sort of try and work out a punchline through that? Or you've already got something in your head?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. I generally have, like, an idea. And I mean, a lot of the time I'll have some sort of exit point. It won't necessarily always be a punchline, but it's like, you can jump off here.
Yeah.
Yep. But a lot of the time you'll be on stage and you just kind of silly and having fun and something will come out and you're like, oh, there it is. And other times you've thought of the best punchline ever at home and it lands, and other times you say it and it's like, okay, that was only funny to me.
And just in the mirror. When you're scrapbooking and you've got your dream board and you're like, you're cutting out from magazines where you want to be in 5 years, what's your comedy goals? I'm trying to figure out
how old I'll
opening
be
for Seinfeld.
Yeah, obviously.
Right?
Yeah. That's the dream. No,
Jessica Seinfeld, his wife, the cook who writes the cookbooks.
Yeah
it's a there good one, go. Actually. Doesn't she like subtly put vegetables into the recipes?
She's a working mum. Do you see yourself as a working mum? Married to a famous comedian.
Jesus, that escalated quickly.
Well, I have jokes about looking like a nappy sand mum. So probably, yeah. I mean, the dream would be, I have a joke I'm working on at the moment where I think I talk about how I have a theory I'd be a really, really good third wife.
Ooh.
And then I'll end up marrying this old guy. Not super old.
Are you Mormon?
No. Okay. But he'll be older, but not like super old, like a really fit 50.
Are we talking like ka-ching, ka-ching? Does he have a bit of coin behind
look, he's
him?
He's got a little bit, but we're not crazy rich. Like, no. We still have a boat, but it's not.
It's a yacht. Dinghy.
Yeah. You're talking about having two wives beforehand.
Yeah.
I thought you meant third, as in there were two others at the same time.
Yeah, that's like, why I said Mormon.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Are you it's talking about having two wives happy beforehand?
Agreement. No, I mean, not in Australia, obviously.
Yeah. Am I right?
Can't do that. No. He'll have two wives. Mm. He'll probably be my first husband. I mean, I haven't had one yet.
Kids?
So I'm guessing.
Stepkids?
Yeah, stepkids.
Were you Brady Buncher?
Oh, definitely. He won't have many kids, hopefully. Mm. Just a couple. And, like, we see him every couple of weeks. And they think I'm cool, so it's fine.
They live in...
somewhere
in
else.
Western Australia.
Yeah.
Not getting
yeah.
jokes. You see them every year on the road show.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, it's my stepmom. And I'm like, hi.
Not a regular stepmom, I'm a cool stepmom.
And they've got wacky names, like David. Oh, they're crazy. So that's my dream, yeah.
So what do you feel coming up? What's going on? Like,
I'm pretty excited because I do a podcast as well with two other comedians, Matt Stewart and Dave Warnocky. And it's called Do Go On. And we are doing a live show in Sydney. So we did a few shows. We did a show every Sunday at the Comedy Festival. So we did four live shows. And they were awesome. And lots of people came out. It was really cool. So we're taking it up to Sydney. And we're doing it at the end of August. So we're doing it on the 27th of August. My birthday is the 26th.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And Dave's is the 28th. And we both turned 27. So we're doing like a show on the 27th for our 27th birthday.
That's awesome.
I'm like, if somebody doesn't bring me cake, heads will roll.
That's right. We'll come.
This
up.
Is your warning.
Yeah.
Because there's the 27 club as well.
I know. So we have a year to either make it or
don't take any planes there.
We better drive up. I think.
Drive up.
Yeah, they do call me Bop on the podcast because of the big bopper. So maybe I should avoid all sorts of planes from now on.
Yeah,
I'll drive everywhere or boats. I'm going on a lot of cruises.
Yeah, well, that's how you meet your third husband. No, you meet your first husband.
That's where he'll be.
Boat shopping. Yeah. Boat shopping with a wandering eye.
So people can go on iTunes for that one?
Yeah, you can. It's great. I love it.
And people can also catch you on Triple J?
Yeah, on the Triple J every Wednesday afternoon. And on social medias.
Social medias, yep.
YouTube, I guess.
What's right on. What are you thinking about next week? What's going to be on the Triple J, if you could spoil?
Well, that's the problem, because the whole segment is that people text in their problems to me and I solve their problems. I'm a text therapist.
Are they
it's
real?
Very funny.
Yeah,
they're real.
Oh, okay.
We chat to them on the phone. It's really fun.
Wow.
Yeah, so I don't even know. I generally know with about 10 minutes to spare.
See, on this show, it's just us doing the voices.
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Yeah, we just make up the text.
Just received a text message right now, actually. Thank you for that.
Jess, what an awesome guest.
Yeah. Thank you, 420, for that one. Fantastic.
But Facebooks, Twitters?
Yeah.
All right, awesome.
Jess Perkins on all of them.
Did I see you in a Channel 31 movie?
Probably. Slash definitely.
Yes.
I've done a bit of stuff on Channel 31 here and there.
Rip, but not rip. Rip later.
Yeah, rip
six
later.
Months. 6 months. Months to go.
It's always life like, support. Oh, here we go. It's gone. Oh, there. No, we've got another 6 months.
Yeah, thanks,
it's happened
Malcolm.
Two or three times now. So,
wow,
it's not good for the heart. You know, we've got a lot of anxiety issues. Mm. But yeah, probably. I think it was the one about the they're trying to close down the telescope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that like?
That was really fun.
Yeah.
I got called in at the last minute.
Really?
So they were like, oh, we've had somebody pull out. Can you just come and read some lines? It was supposed to be like one tiny appearance. And I was like, yeah, sure, no worries. Yeah. And then Shane, who is an executive producer at Channel 31 and a lovely man and wrote that show, he was like, he wrote more of that character in.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, just to give me some more time, which was so nice very fun.
Does that mean actress is on your resume? Is that on your LinkedIn?
100%, yes.
Yeah.
Right on.
So my year 12 drama teacher is incredibly proud.
Yes, how on that enter school.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I didn't even need you before me degree. Shut up.
I was in a film. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm, hugely successful. I exist on IMDb, so there's
Wikipedia
that.
Page, right?
Twins.
God, one day.
Well, I'm on IMDb as a movie called Crazy Richard.
Oh.
The working title was The Day My Penis Exploded.
Okay.
Ah.
It was an independent film back in the early 2000s.
Independent. Oh.
It's a good title.
Yeah.
Well, Crazy Richard, probably because... the senses, you know, the man.
Yeah, you got always the man. Hey?
Do you have to keep your comedy fairly clean for the ABC?
Oh, probably, but I don't.
You drop an F bomb.
I'll try.
Just drop it.
I'll try it.
Yeah, go for it. Just on the Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll see you
after the Patreon.
And then after that, yeah. You can always join us back here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We'll have you anytime.
Oh, thank you. So you're just volunteering to be my plan B.
Yeah.
It's very
You're welcome.
Very pessimistic on your part, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Jess. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm going to go to bed now, I reckon.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, no. Yeah, yeah, it is a bit late.
I think I'm just going to have a nap for the rest of the show.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's all go have a nap.
For listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.